Good afternoon and welcome back to Voices and Views. My name is Tom Halverson, and on the phone with me, I have Richard Liebert. Richard is a member of the Montana Veterans Memorial Association. Good afternoon, Richard.
Thanks, Tom.
And you have a very special event coming up next week. Why don't you tell us all about it, please?
Yeah, it's kind of a unique community event, and you know, we're still trying to do things in the age of COVID, but and we'll take proper protocols. But a famous World War II medium bomber, the Maid in the Shade, that's her title, B-25J, is coming to Great Falls on a Flying Legends tour brought here by the Commemorative Air Force, which their mission is to honor and inspire, and they take care of iconic aircraft. And this B-25 flew in World War II and is going to land here next Monday at 11 o'clock up at Holman Aviation on Gore Hill at the airport. It's going to be here for about a week, providing on the ground tours and also up in the air tours for people. These are paid events, but the ceremony we're going to do next Monday is going to be open to the public. We're going to be following COVID protocols, but we're going to welcome the Maid in the Shade B-25 aircraft to Great Falls.
Now, are you inviting them to come up to the airport?
Well, we're going to have limited seating, and we're inviting people, and if you don't feel well, don't come. But it's not going to be a long ceremony. We're going to be, going to ask people to have masks, and we're going to be outside on the flight line, just outside the Holman building, and we'll have restrooms up there, and we'll encourage people, to keep hands clean, and we'll have sanitizer out, and we'll have distances between the chairs, and also for people up there. But at 11 o'clock, the aircraft is planned to fly overhead, like a flyover, about 1,000 feet above the airport, and then it'll land and taxi. And while it's coming in, I'll talk about the aircraft. We might even play some music up there as well as it comes in, some big band music or something like that to set the tone, the style.
Sure.
And it'll get to the parking position near the Holman building and shut down, and then the honor guard from Malmstrom Air Force Base will present the colors. And I've got a local gal, Melissa DeCoulis. She's going to sing the national anthem. And because I'm trying to keep the numbers limited, I don't have a whole choral group. So
sure.
I'm just trying to find the right path forward to make sure we honor our traditions, but also respect public health.
Right. So setting up the day, you have other guests that will be involved with this event. Why don't you talk about them?
Yeah, and I'll keep going on with the ceremony, if you
sure.
don't mind. And then after the national anthem, we'll have a chaplain from the Air Force Base provide an invocation. And after that, then I'm going to have a couple cadets from the local Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana Composite Wing of the Civil Air Patrol. The Civil Air Patrol, if folks don't know, they're a youth organization. Well, they're sponsored by the Air Force, but they have young people who become cadets in the Civil Air Patrol, and they learn about aviation and organization and leadership and perhaps a career in aviation. But the Civil Air Patrol is well known, but a lot of people don't even know that we have them in Great Falls.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have a couple cadets. I always have the young people involved. We cross the generations from the World War II bomber to the young generation. I think it's important.
Absolutely. Now, I understand retired Air Force Brigadier General Rex Stanberg will provide
yes.
comments. He was a fighter pilot?
Well, he'd been a fighter pilot, and he's got an interesting career. In 1966, he joined the Air Guard as an enlisted man and then worked in mechanics and aviation technology, then got commissioned in 1970 and was trained as a fighter pilot and flew the F-102, the F-106. Many people from around the community probably remember those aircraft, like the Delta Wing and then the C-131, which is a smaller C-130 that you see flying overhead now. Then the last thing that flew was the F-16, and he was, I think, the 120th Air Wing Commander when they transitioned to that, and then he became a Brigadier General and became the Assistant Adjutant General for the Montana Air Guard, like the top position in the Montana Air Guard. And he retired in 2006, and he's got over 5,000 flying hours. So he's the guy that can talk about aviation. I'm just an infantry ground pounder.
If anybody knows.
I don't have pilot's wings, so I don't think I can talk about aviation. So he'll be talking about his father's experiences. His father's same name, Rex Tamberg Sr., who was a World War II veteran and actually, I think, was stationed at Gore Hill or at the Army Air Base here in Great Falls. So he's got that personal lineage and personal history he'll bring to us.
Now, how many individuals would be in this particular plane? Would there be three, four? Do you have any idea?
That's a great question. Well, that's a great question. The Mitchell bomber, it was actually built before World War II started. It first flew in 1940 as we saw the winds of war were coming, and FDR, he tried to prepare us. It first flew in 1940, had a crew of six, twin-engine bomber, payload of 5,000 pounds. You had a pilot, co-pilot, bombardier, gunner, navigator. I think it had a flight engineer, waist gunner, and then a tail gunner. And when it flew, when the B-25, if anybody's heard of the famous Doolittle raid, when it flew off the aircraft carrier Hornet, April 18, 1942, it only had a crew of four because they were trying to keep the weight down, and to fly off an aircraft carrier is a big deal.
Now, also, what was the big deal about the actual plane itself, the B-25J bomber? What did it play as far as a significant role in history? What was it for?
It was probably one of the most versatile aircraft of World War II. It was used in every theater, from the Pacific, the Mediterranean, Europe, Southeast Asia, everywhere. It was a well-used aircraft, versatile. It could do strafing runs, carry machine guns, drop bombs. And almost 10,000 were built in World War II, and this particular version was built. This particular plane, the Maid in the Shade, was that's her, what the crew gave her a name, was built on 8 June 1944, 2 days after D-Day, in Kansas City, Kansas. Now imagine all the men and women in America, we were only 160 million people then, building not just 10,000 of these planes, you know, but God knows, tens of thousands of other aircraft. I think we've made over 300,000 aircraft in World War II, ships, tanks, and planes. Just think of the national focus and willpower to get that done. So
it's American know-how, American ingenuity.
And that's a lesson of what we did in the past and what we should do now in terms of a national revival. And the Pearl Harbor happened December 7th. Everybody knows that. But FDR challenged the Army and Navy, I want you to counterattack. We got to hit the Japanese back. And then a Navy captain had an idea that maybe we can get a small Army bomber to fly off a Navy carrier. They worked it out. It was innovative. It was daring and bold. And a few months later, Jimmy Doolittle, famous air racing pilot and a test pilot, he became a colonel, and he led over 80 airmen to get in 16 planes and take a daring mission to fly over Japan and drop bombs and hope for the best. Most of them crash-landed in China, I think 15, 14 of them. One guy crashed and got captured, and that crew was executed. Mm-hmm. But the point is that they responded. Now, the other half of the story is, and maybe people don't realize that, Japan suffered, but they had very little material damage, but we traumatized them, and then Japan realized that, well, we got to squash the U.S. and the Pacific, so they decided to go out with all the carriers, and on 4 June in Midway, we met them decisively and defeated Japan, destroyed four carriers, and that changed the whole course of the Pacific War.
Now, I know the bomber was used a lot against Japan. Germany owned the airwaves in the beginning of the war. Was this plane ever used against the Germans?
Well, this plane was used in Germany, but it was used a lot in the Mediterranean. The Maid in the Shade, this particular bomber, was used. It is actually flown by the ferry group, and everybody's heard the 7th Ferry Group. Those are the ladies, the female pilots, who transported all the planes from the factories to the air bases. Mm-hmm. And they got little recognition years ago, but now people understand they were, you know, they're veterans as well, so they're allowed up in the Veterans Memorial too. And they were flying planes from the factories to the jump off points. This plane went from Kansas to Georgia, then it flew all the way to the Mediterranean. I think it went to Brazil, then it crossed the Atlantic, and then it finally ended up in Corsica. And in Corsica, it flew missions over into Italy, and it was basically designed to knock out railroad bridges. It carried a lot of guns. It did 15 missions to knock out railroad bridges, which would cripple the German war effort in Italy.
Now, back in World War II, it wasn't uncommon to paint, like, women on the side of your planes. What's that all about? How did that get started?
Well, I think that's just kind of a tradition from aviators or even from the Navy and merchant that the crews would name the vessel or the aircraft after, you know, a female. Sometimes, you know, it's not pejorative. You know, it's, I don't think it's controversial, but it's famous pinup art. I think a lot of classy art came, like, you see the sure. B-17s, like, everybody's probably heard of the Memphis Belle, you know, and that was a lady painted on the side of the B-17 because the crew knew a gal in Memphis, and then they put that on her. But the Maid in the Shade is a girl dressed for summer wear, and she's under a shade tree in, I think, a southern state. So
now this event next week, the actual plane's going to be in town for a week. Is that true?
Oh yeah, it's going to be up at Holman Aviation. That's if you go drive past the main terminal of the airport, you just keep going along the airport road, you'll find that's where all the civilian aircraft are maintained. You'll see, you know, that's not where the airlines keep their planes, but if you charter a plane or you take flight instruction, you go down to Holman Aviation. And Holman Aviation and the International Airport are sponsoring the Arizona base of the Commemorative Air Force. And which is off the CF, you know, 20, I think over 20 years ago. It used to be called the Confederate Air Force, but they were ahead of their times and they changed their name
sure.
to the Commemorative Air Force to commemorate these iconic aircraft.
Now, I understand this will be offered on Facebook. When and the day and the time, please.
Okay, for the ceremony?
Well, not only that, but you're not going to use Facebook for the entire week. When is the
Facebook? Oh, no. But the plane's going to be up there at Holman Aviation, and they're going to have rides Friday and Saturday, Sunday of next week. And they can go to azcaf.org. That's arizonacaf.org/tour if they want to book online. And the seats are limited, but all the money that goes to paying for the aircraft ride goes to help maintain this 501c3 because they're not paid to do this. They're a nonprofit, and they maintain these aircraft. They spent 27 years restoring this aircraft, which is quite interesting. In 1960, it was supposed to go to a scrap heap. Then a company in Alabama bought it to be a crop duster until the 70s, and then a group of World War II guys bought this plane in 1981, and then they donated it to the Commemorative Air Force. And like I said, if you want to book a tour, azcaf.org. And I think if you want to ride in the nose, which is exciting, that's like $590. And if you're in the waist gunner, that's $325. But if you're not that daring, then you can tour the plane Monday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, from like 2 to 6 p.m. And that's like $10 a person and $20 per family. So
now if somebody might take you up on that offer, who would they contact?
They just go up to Holman Aviation, and if they want more information, they can print out the flyer at the Montana Veterans Memorial website. That's montanaveteransmemorial.org. We put the media release about the ceremony on there, and we put the flyer about the B-25 tour also up there for the public's convenience.
Now, Monday, August 3rd is the big day. How about a recap of that event, please?
Okay, that's going to be 11 o'clock. We're planning a flyover at the airport at Holman Aviation, and the plane will land, taxi, shut off, and we'll present the colors and national anthem, invocation, Pledge of Allegiance. General Tamberg's going to talk about World War II and his father's experiences, and then Gene Atkins from the Commemorative Air Force, he's one of the crew members. He's going to talk about the aircraft itself, and then I'll have a few closing remarks, and then we'll have benediction, and we should be done by noon.
Now, if someone can't make the event and they want to check it out on Facebook, you're going to have this on Facebook Live, right?
Oh, it's going to be on the Montana Veterans Memorial Facebook site. We're going to have the Facebook Live link there also. So we've invited all the media up there too. So, you know, and people, you know, and we don't, if you're not well, don't come up there. Sure. If you're cautious, we're going to be following all the COVID protocols. So we just want to make sure people are aware of this. You know, we're trying to balance, like I said, honoring our history and balancing public health.
Sure. I want to thank our guest today, retired Army Lieutenant Colonel Richard Liebert with the Montana Veterans Memorial Association. Richard, thank you so much, and good luck with your event.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. And a disclaimer, I'm proud to be on the board of KGPR, too. So,
I was waiting for that. Thanks again, Richard.
Well, I can't leave without saying that, Tom. So.